You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all so much for being here with me and being a part of the show. It's an absolute honor to do these podcasts for you guys, and I'm just loving all the wonderful feedback we're getting back from you guys, and all you guys are spreading the word and letting other people know about the portal, and it's really growing. It's really exciting. So thank you all for all that you've been doing to help promote the portal. It's just been a real pleasure. It's just been an incredible pleasure. I love when you guys want to take part in the shows as well. So if you have a lot of experiences or some experiences and you'd like to share them and be a guest on the show, please reach out to me and let me know. You can reach me by emailing paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and I'll get in touch with you and we'll dial it in and make it happen. But these are absolutely my favorite shows when you guys are a part of them and we have a chance to discuss these things and see where you've been and what you've seen. So just get a hold of me. Again, email paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. So tonight we have, or today, whenever you're listening to it, but today's show is going to be an amazing ride. Our guest today is Megan from British Columbia, and she has a whole bunch of amazing experiences, and you guys are going to love this. So let's say we go in and check it out. Welcome to the show, Megan. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing super awesome. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing super awesome, too. So I guess it's a good place to be where the super awesome people are. Right. But no, I'm doing good. And thank you so much for making this work. I know that's one of the hardest things for all the people that appear on the show is to figure out, you know, a time or, you know, when they can get in and make this happen. We all have busy lives and stuff, but it means a lot that you made the time to make this happen. So thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you as well.
Oh, you're welcome. But in reading through your experiences that you sent me on email, and my God, there's a lot of, you've seen a lot of stuff. You really have.
Right? And that's literally just half.
Well, you can always come back and tell us the other half too. So that's always on the table. But I got to ask you, where did this all start for you? How did you end up crossing the threshold into the paranormal?
I'm really not sure at what point I realized I was crossing the threshold. It just always was.
Okay.
Like, I have always been interested in it, but I didn't really realize that maybe I was part of it until, I don't know, my teens, that I realized that not everybody is doing this or seeing this or hearing this.
Sure. Yeah. That's pretty incredible. So it's just been a part of your journey.
Yeah. So like my first experience, I think, was probably when I was in my childhood home in Vancouver. I was there only until I was about 3. So I was quite young when I experienced this. Mm-hmm. My teenaged friend, Brittany, I remember her so incredibly clearly. She was a Caucasian girl. Mm-hmm. She was very pale skin, but like not abnormally so. Okay. She had multi-tonal blonde hair. Her eyes, like, they could have been blue, but they could have been reflecting the, like, olive jumper that she was wearing, her sweater. Uh-huh. Like, even to her pants, like, they were so stylized, realizing that now. Like, they weren't bell bottoms, but they were, like, I don't know how to explain it. They were just
like a flared very leg.
Dated pair. Yeah, like flares.
Okay.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
No, no worries.
And so I met her in my backyard, and I remember bringing her into my house. I remember her always taking me towards my parents' bedroom, which was always, the door was always open, but the room was always dark. Uh-huh. And the big, huge square that was in the ceiling, now I realize now that that was like the ceiling,
the attic
access yeah. panel.
Yeah. Wow. She tried to lead you up there?
Well, I don't know, lead me up there. I never felt like a like malicious, even like thinking back on it. It's uh-huh. just constantly like here, like just here. Oh. Like, I don't know. It,
sure.
No, I think maybe a message, but like maybe I'm just aggrandizing it. I don't know. But I didn't feel like I was being led.
Okay.
It's just somewhere dangerous.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I mean, because you gotta, yeah, I think we oftentimes feel when there's something dark at work, you know, even young kids, especially young kids, I think they're really tuned into that energy and they just know when something's sideways. But so if you felt like it was a innocent kind of encounter and friendship, then it probably was.
Right. And like, because I remember her so vividly, mm-hmm. I'm really shocked that my mom was so adamant whenever I would bring her up in later years that she doesn't recall her like on any level.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, but then she was also adamant that I never had imaginary friends because, like, once I started getting curious about paranormal and how that was kind of a common trait with kids anyways.
Sure.
Thinking, well, maybe I've got a gift. Yeah. She was like, no, you don't. You don't. You never had an invisible friend. So it's like, okay, well, then who was Brittany? So there was that.
Uh-huh.
And then the next really clear memory of seeing something that apparently wasn't there was this girl in my mom's window mm-hmm. on the second floor of our house. We had my memories before that, mm-hmm. eyes in the window.
Okay.
And also in my wall. But they never had a face. And like, my house was situated, so there was a streetlight kitty corner to my window. So, like, you could clearly see whether or not there was a person outside the window.
Okay.
But there wasn't. And, but there would be eyes, like, eyeballs with, you know, the skin and eyelashes and some stuff.
Sure.
And,
Normal sized, or were they bigger, or were they about the human
just
size?
Like, maybe a little bit bigger than people, like okay. normal people,
uh-huh.
but like I wouldn't say gigantic or abnormally large.
Okay.
But just peering in. And so there was that. But then this girl, anyways, I was in the pool that we had recently installed, and I was underwater, and I heard very, very clearly my mom's nickname for me, Dove, Dove. So I got up out of the water,
uh-huh.
and she was nowhere to be seen, so I thought maybe she was yelling for me from her window,
uh-huh.
but she was not. There was this girl there that was like really strikingly clear. Again,
mm-hmm.
she was blonde, loosely curled hair, and a lace lapel, like a bib.
Yeah.
The closest I can compare is like the dresses from The Shining, you know, the twins.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of like that, kind of like Little House on the Prairie kind of style.
Okay.
And just looking out at me. And so that was freaking me out because nobody was allowed in my mom's room.
Wow.
So I got out and came and asked my mom who she is, like, and why is she there? And she's adamant again that there's nobody here, that wow. there's nobody up there.
How old so are I you checked at this time? When I went,
oh gosh, I'm probably about eight.
Eight. Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt.
I would do like eight or nine.
Okay. And this is in the same house as the other girl.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. No. Okay. We had moved into the valley at this point.
Okay. And maybe you into said that. Abbotsford? I'm sorry if I missed it.
Oh, no, I had skipped that. I'm okay. Sorry.
No worries at all. No need to apologize.
So we had moved into Abbotsford, which is about 45 minutes east of Vancouver.
Okay.
And that's kind of important for a later story.
Gotcha.
So I saw that girl. And this house was always creepy. Like, it felt just awful. In any room of the house, but like especially the basement, like mm-hmm. you'd have to run up the stairs, whether it's the basement or the main floor to the second floor, something's coming after you.
Oh,
yeah, it's so gross. And it is like yeah. in some places it would just be so thick going into a room.
Yeah.
I had seen this girl at another point in time after I had rearranged my room. And at this point, I'm maybe 10. Mm-hmm. And I had moved my bed to underneath my big window so I could like look out at outside uh-huh. while laying there. And so I had looked back up into the ceiling because I'm trying to fall asleep at this point because I've always had sleep problems.
Sure.
And I'm making constellations with the glitter in their popcorn ceiling. And all of a sudden, this girl, the same girl, materializes, just laying parallel to me in the ceiling, looking right at me. Oh. I can see her lapel and her dress hanging down, like as if it's affected by gravity.
Oh, wow. That's really
and her hair too, like her hair is just hanging down in front of her face, but not menacingly, right? Just gravity. And we're just looking at each other and her face just turns so sad and like just like she's crying out for help.
Right.
But like her mouth isn't moving or anything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like the fabric around her waist is like cinched more closer to her body.
Okay.
And she's lifted into our crawl space. Like even her fabric, she's pulled up into my ceiling.
Oh.
And then she's gone.
That kind of sounds like something was holding her there, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because there, like I said, like there was this just thick feeling in the house. It was so
right.
Malevolent is the bad one, right?
Yep. Yep.
Malevolent is yeah. the good one.
Benevolent is good. Yeah. Malevolent is bad. Yep.
Yeah, it was that.
Oh.
And what else happened there? Oh my gosh. Okay, so why where I lived is kind of important. Is how do I start it? I was woken up. I guess I'll start there. I was woken up to just so much loud noise, talking, but like no actual words, just people talking over each other.
Right.
And I woke up and my whole room is filled with people. These milky blue, like Star Wars milk is the best color I can describe it to. that yeah. blue milk.
Yeah.
But they're see-through. Uh-huh. And they're filing in and out of my room. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
I can't move. And at this point, I'm in high school. So I'm about 14, 15.
Okay.
So I know what sleep paralysis is. And I'm like, oh my God, is that what this is? Mm-hmm. I can't move. I'm screaming. I'm asking for help. But then all of a sudden I can get up, but they're still there. So I think the hallucinations are supposed to stop once your body's awake, not just your mind. Anyways, so I got up, I'm running through them, and I run into my mom's room, who is like a 90 degree angle from my room.
Mm-hmm.
And I run into bed with her, and I can still see them coming in and out of my room, but not coming into my mom's room. Mm. And my mom rolls over, to face me because she was facing the other way. And she was sound asleep, but her eyes are wide open and she's staring right at me. And she starts speaking to me flawlessly in what I assume to be Hebrew or Arabic.
Oh my God.
And yeah, like it could be something else, but that's what it sounded like.
Sure.
And like she's not blinking at me. And then she rolls back over and continues just to sleep. I roll on my back. I'm freaking out. Like the metro station of people are still coming in and out of my room. And then I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? I look over and my grandpa, who has passed away several years prior to this, mm-hmm. is standing beside my mom with his arms crossed facing towards her feet.
Uh-huh.
And he looks over and smiles and nods and like, okay, I think everything's going to be okay. He's letting me know, you know, yeah. I hope like this isn't
sure,
you know, I'm having a breakdown and he's okay. I calm down. So I roll over and I'm really freaking out. Like even telling you, I feel crazy. Oh. My auntie who had also passed away, his sister, her head is on my tummy.
Oh.
Like it's a disembodied head.
Uh-huh.
And she's not emanating anything negative. It's just, there she is looking right at me, sitting on my stomach, smiling at me.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I had had enough. I just threw the blankets over my head and I'm like just praying for it away. So then next morning, okay, so here's really why it's important. Next morning, about 9-10 o'clock, because mm-hmm. it's second period for me in high school.
Okay.
We had an earthquake that was so strong that it cracked the foundation of some of our school facade. Wow. And like we watched our water pipes kind of wiggle like a pencil when you jiggle it in your fingers.
Oh, sure.
Like it was the strongest one we'd ever felt for me being 14 at that time. So I don't know if that freak show that happened the night before had anything to do with what was going on with the earth.
Right.
Just prior to the earthquake. But I think, like, you can check that that an earthquake did happen just before my experience. So that's why I thought geography would be important.
Mm-hmm.
So also, at some point, I would have, it was only one experience. I woke up to a really, really, really deep voice coming out of my my boombox. Like this is in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was before the earthquake. I'm sorry for jumping around.
No, it's fine.
A really deep voice. Like it was the deepest I had ever heard. You could almost feel it, but like not really. It was just so deep, saying, when I come, be not afraid, over and over and over. When I come, do not fear me.
Wow.
And it wouldn't stop, like, but it was clearly coming from the boombox. I would turn the switch on and off, and it continued. Even after I unplugged it, it continued only just one more repetition, and then it was done.
That is intense.
I know. I had no idea what that's about. But like,
you've got a lot of these experiences that are seem to culminate in a, you know, a vortex around you, for lack of a better term, with. Now, I got to ask you, since we've covered several stories, do you think that you're psychic, or have you had a lot of psychic experiences in your life?
I know when I was younger, I wanted to be. Uh-huh. Like younger, like when I was a teenager and stuff, like, oh my gosh, that would be cool. Uh-huh. But I've always thought that it would be really narcissistic to think that I was.
Oh, well, I don't think so. Here's the thing. I think that we all have those gifts. It's just that some of us are born with them more turned on than others. And I don't think that it necessarily distinguishes anyone from anyone else. It's just for some reason, some people don't have to work hard at it. They just have that ability. And you sound like one of those people. And because wherever you are, you're getting experiences drawn to you. You're getting these apparitions showing themselves. And you're seeing them as well. Now, for most of us, we would see things happen around us, but not so many apparitions. But you're seeing apparitions all the time. So I think that it's, to me, and I'm no expert. I'm on the outside looking in, but just listening to what you're sharing so far, you've got to have some kind of ability going on there, because you, I mean, these things are finding you. They are finding you, very actively finding you. And, I think that that's a pretty powerful indicator, that you probably are, either consciously or unconsciously, you've got a lot of ability under the surface there that's pulling them to you.
Oh, well, thank you. I wish I knew, what to do with that. You know, where do I go with that?
Well, at the end of the show, we'll talk a little bit about that, but I just wanted to throw that out there, because the level of experiences you're having is not, I mean, I don't mean to say that it's abnormal in a bad way. It's just most people don't have this much experience, and these many profound experiences. There's people that deal with hauntings and stuff, but again, mostly it's, where's the car keys? Oh, the TV turned on. Oh, the radio's doing weird stuff. The lights are flickering. I heard a door slam or footsteps. But you're very vividly seeing and experiencing shadows and apparitions and crowds of apparitions, as well as, you know, voices and stuff. So it sounds to me like you're definitely pretty tuned in. I have some suggestions, and I have other people that you could talk to as well to help kind of tune this in or get in front of it rather than dealing with the effects of it without any control.
Oh, man, that would be so beneficial in so many ways. You have no idea, because it's really affecting my son as well right now.
Okay.
Like, so bad. And if I had tools to help him too, mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That'd be incredible.
But yeah, continue on. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's just like, wow. The things you're putting on the table already are like, you know, they're just off the charts with, you know, the intensity of them. And so that's what it's telling me. So we'll get into that more in a bit here. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
We're only at like age 14. We still have 20 more years to go.
Oh, good. That's good. I love these shows. And believe me, if we run long, we can always do a second episode too. Don't worry about that. You know, it's fine.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Oh, okay. So this one isn't really as long, but again, I'm in my teens here, and my mom had come home early from work to take my brother to a doctor's appointment in a different city. Mm-hmm. I was being good for once, and I was doing some housework, and at this point was doing dishes, and I'm really quite OCD.
Okay.
So I put the knife very specifically away from me, pointing tip to the wall, blade away from me. Mm-hmm. That's just very me, I'm sorry.
Sure.
And so it spins and it juts at me.
Oh.
Like, there's no way for it to have done that, because like if it was accidental or me, because I'd put it down on a dish towel. It wasn't down on a slick surface or anything.
Right.
And like, it's a quite a large knife, like it's a kitchen butcher knife.
Oh, geez.
And so it span, and jutted like so fast, but for how fast it jutted at me, it stopped just before falling off the counter. So it was, that was another bizarre, but the negative feelings I always felt were male, and I thought that was the guy that I ended up seeing when I was about 16 in our living room. Like, when I saw this person, or spirit, whatever, it felt exactly the same as whatever the energy felt in the air when that knife had done it, had spin at me. Mm-hmm. And he was a lumberjack. And there's another lumberjack story, which is weird too. But they're not connected. This guy, I believe, was from the area, because where we live, the lake was a mill. Mm-hmm. It was a mill area prior to the housing development. So anyways, he was dirty and filthy and in plaid and Levi's, specifically Levi's. I remember this so clearly. And sitting on the hutch of our China hutch, just being like an emanating jerk. A bunch of us were partying. We were being rather irresponsible teenagers.
Okay.
And he was not impressed. And it was the same feeling I got from the knife. Anyways, this one.
Now, this is a presence that appeared one time, or did you see it through more than once?
It's the only time I had actually seen him.
Okay.
But
and nobody else?
No. This person actually got seen by my other friend, who previously claimed to be able to see things, and of course wanting to believe but also being skeptic. It's like, okay, yeah, right, whatever. But because she had explained that she had seen literally what I had seen, like unprompted, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, maybe the reason why he was being able to be seen is because there was two of us this time.
Oh, maybe. Or maybe he was trying to intimidate you guys because he wasn't real happy with what was going on.
Also, possibility. Very, very strong possibility, because there was a lot of shenanigans, I tell you.
Sure.
So we've moved from our townhouse, and I'm now about 18-ish, and there's not really a whole lot that went on there, other than my aunt had to buy the house for my mom. She was incapable of going and doing all the viewings. So I had never been to it before either. So by the time it got purchased, my first walkthrough, we got to where my mom's room would be. And there was my granddad again. And he was standing where my mom's bed ended up being positioned. Looking towards where it would be positioned. Mm-hmm. And then he looked over at me and did the same smile, the same nod that he would do in life when he approved. And it's like, okay, great. So she really did do a good job. Fantastic. Good approval. Thank you, Granddad. And but then when we got down to the basement, oh my goodness, everything was super different, because it was unfinished. It was previously a grow show. It was previously a grow show.
What's that?
Where they grow cannabis.
Oh, okay. All right, gotcha.
So it had been gutted, and so it was all just the exposed concrete and studs and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But one of the walls had, it was so bizarre, I wish I had a photo still, had what looked like a man standing spread, or a woman, really, a person standing spread eagle, chiseled out and then refilled into the wall, and a hose that went to where the face would be. Now, I'm not saying that's what it was, because clearly it couldn't possibly be,
okay.
But maybe. Wow. But I mean, like, this thing was like about 6 feet tall, and it was spread out like perfectly like how we were when we stood up against it and pretended to be Fred, that's what we named it.
Okay.
But we had creepy steps that would come up the steps from the basement to the top. Mm-hmm. They were not carpeted, and they would creak all the time, but nobody would be coming up. Like, there was no person attached to them.
Oh, okay.
And then there was also a shadow that was in my bedroom. Now, I didn't see this, so I can't take any claim for it, but my boyfriend at the time, who was a skeptic, said that he saw somebody standing behind our door after I had gotten up to go to the washroom. Mm-hmm. So there was light shining through where the handle was, but mm-hmm. it was removed because we needed to replace it the next day, so it was a holder. So he saw a rather large figure standing behind the door, and then it disappeared just before I had come in, and he thought that I was standing there trying to creep him out before crawling into bed. Wow. So I don't know if that's attached to whom we affectionately called Fred, but
me.
So, oh gosh, I did it again. At this time, I had okay. So, to make things even more crazy, my friend and I had a possible Sasquatch encounter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, we didn't see it, so I can't say for certain that's what it was, but it mm-hmm. was the strangest encounter I've ever experienced. So, maybe that's what it was. So, we went to Cascade Falls, which is in the backside of Mission. Mm-hmm. And it's a provincial park, so it's illegal to camp there. So, we took the risk anyway. Oh. We were teenagers. We didn't care. And, We went and hung out in the forest all day. We would cross the river. We went and climbed this gigantic boulder. We were all over the place. We were all over the forest on the other side. Like, we scaled a lot of distance. By the time we thought it was safe enough to get our camping gear out of the car to not be caught. So we camped just off of the path, maybe about 100 feet or so.
Okay.
But right by the river. And we had just a small fire, and we were out until about midnight and crawled into the tent just after letting the fire die down. And then I don't know how long it was after we had crawled in, but we heard like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh mm-hmm. through the water, like something was wading through it. Uh-huh. And at first I thought, is that a bear?
Jeez.
I'm like, oh God, yeah. We have nothing. Like, literally, we have a paring knife. Like, we have nothing. Uh-huh. But no, it's like whoosh, like really long strides. It's like, well, maybe it's a horse. I don't know. We're city kids.
Sure.
And then we hear crunch, crunch, crunch on the pebbles of the shore and the river rock, and it's getting closer to us. I'm like, oh my God. If that's a bear, we're dead. Like, right. We have nothing. And then we hear it come right up to where our fire was. And we're just, I don't know, 5 feet from it. Mm-hmm. And our cooler is maybe 8 feet from us. Again, we're city kids. We have no idea about forest safety.
Sure.
And we hear this growl that turns into like a click. And it's suddenly not a growl. Like, I don't know how to explain it at all other than the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Oh, sure.
Before he bites the guy off the toilet. You know, that yeah. growl, click, 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 click.
Yep.
And you can feel it inside you, mm-hmm. in your bones, in your organs. Like, if you've ever swam with dolphins and felt that click in the water, that just penetrates you. That's what this was. And we were just silent. Like, we went from freaking out silently in whispers to, like, dead quiet. Like, I didn't even have thoughts. I was so...
Yeah, just tuned into that moment. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the off button was turned. But I could hear everything. And this thing opened up our cooler. And, okay, do bears open up coolers?
Maybe.
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 I don't know. Yeah. So then... this is where it gets even extra weird. Our bag of crisps, like potato chips, uh-huh. was picked up and then opened.
Oh. Now,
like opened, like not popped, but like the squeal
yeah.
of being pulled open.
Yep.
And then rustle, rustle, rustle. and then inside our cooler was rustled about. but like not aggressively, just like checking what's going on in there.
Like the neighbor stopping by for a beer.
Yeah, right. And so then finally we hear it crunch, crunch, crunch away, and then whoosh, whoosh, whoosh through the water. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh my God, I think we survived a bear attack. Wow. Oh, I wish we got scrapped. Like, you know, we're being stupid now. Like, and then we fell asleep. I don't know how we fell asleep. I don't know.
Probably
because our adrenaline is like just
right. But you probably adrenaline crashed after that. You know,
probably.
Yeah.
So then we get out of the tent in the morning time. Of course, I'm sorry. We wake up. We get out of the tent, and the cooler is still open. The bag of crisps is empty, but it is perfectly open with just like a cut.
Wow.
A tear down the side. Like, you know how when you go in a little bit too fast, the bag rips?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And but there's no crisps, crumbs anywhere.
Oh.
And all our fruit is gone. I think our apples and our bananas and our eggs.
Oh, wow.
It's all gone. And that was it. Now, again, we didn't see it. We didn't. Oh, there was a smell, but it wasn't a horrific smell either. It was just
sure
like sour, like wet dog sour eggs.
Yeah,
like, I think it wasn't.
I think they can. I think they can turn on that smell when they feel really stressed. But I don't think you know. Just and this may sound sexist, and I don't mean it that way. But it was you and a girlfriend that were doing this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it probably didn't feel like you were very much of a threat, you know, like if it was, and I don't know. I mean, the scent doesn't always come up either, but some people do say that they smell that horrible decaying flesh and, you know, cross between like skunk and decaying flesh smell. And I think that that's some kind of mechanism that they can use when they get really stressed, like a musk that they emit that usually drives most everything away because it's just so foul, kind of like a skunk. Yeah. But, you know, it probably wasn't very intimidating. I mean, especially if it was just hanging out by your cooler having some chips. You know, well, it doesn't sound like it was real stressed.
It's so ridiculous. Like, it opened a bag of chips. Maybe it was a freaking raccoon. Like, yeah, well, but what freaked me out was that penetrating growl. Like, I don't think I've ever heard anything do that.
I've heard it. And that's, you know, the one time I had a close encounter when I was 14 as well. And it's a very similar kind of story. It wasn't an overnight. It was just hiking through a forest down a hill and having something come up behind us. Now, I'm from the south part of Minnesota, and the biggest thing we had was white-tailed deer. And they don't growl, but whatever was behind me growled in such a way as it rattled my whole body. And it was huge. It just sounded huge. And the funny thing is you also drew the same parallel I did. For years, I carried that sound in my head, not knowing what it was. And it wasn't until I saw Jurassic Park that I heard something finally similar. Then it made me just, you know, get shivers in the movie theater as I was hearing it because I went back to that moment. But yeah, I know the sound you're talking about.
That's relieving.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I guess maybe now you know why they don't like campers there.
Right, actually, right? It makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we thought, okay, well, what's the chance of getting caught? And we saw fires, like not on fire, but I mean, like, you know, the char of fire. Like, oh, well, somebody else had a good idea. Anyway.
You weren't the only ones to bend the rules, but apparently, yeah, this guy knew you were there, or this being knew you were there and stopped by for a quick dinner, you know. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
Let's move on to, I guess, 20.
Okay.
So by 20, I had developed a bit of an addiction, and I kind of thought maybe this is not the right route for me, and I didn't know what else to do, and I did not want to go to super religious rehab, so I up and moved across the province. What better place to get clean than the middle of nowhere? So I moved across to Rogers Pass. That's in the Rocky Mountains between British Columbia and Alberta. And so there I saw what I call shadow rats. I call them that because they look like rat shape, but shadow. They're black, mm-hmm. but blacker than black. Wow. And I was in the kitchen and I saw one and then two shoot right across the ceiling and then disappear where the ceiling meets the wall. And that freaked me out, but not enough to stop the pan I was on. I had to finish and then go ask for a friend to come hang out with me so I could finish up the rest of my shift. I also saw them in another room, I saw them in the second floor hallway, mm-hmm. where I had to clean one of our larger suites. And this suite was so creepy, like more creepy than some of the other ones. It just, again, had an atmosphere. It felt alive almost. Mm-hmm. And after making the bed and standing at the open door back to the hallway, just assessing, making sure I didn't have to come back to this awful room, I hear this whisper of what... I didn't see her with my eyes, but every time I hear the whisper in my head, I can see her.
Okay.
She's an older lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she looks like the stereotypical granny, like just a small white-haired lady. Whisper just directly right in my ear, but standing behind me. You did a good job, or a good job.
Oh, nice.
And it's just like, well, thank you, but oh my God. So I bolted from the room, of course, and ran straight down to our head of housekeeping and told him about it. And he just laughed and said, oh, she got you too, hey. Because
oh.
apparently other cleaners and guests say they hear her.
Oh.
But I see her every time I think of the voice. And so there was that. And okay, I will say it. There was, when I first got there, we were roomed with three people. My friend, this other girl from a neighboring city, town,
mm-hmm.
and then myself. And we were in there bored. We didn't have TV or anything. We had just got there. We didn't realize we needed to bring our own entertainment. And we were just telling stories. She had some great ones. And my friend was a skeptic, and so I told her about the guy I had seen in our washroom when I had first got there. And she didn't believe me, and I'm like, well, I'm telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I went on to tell her how come he was here, that he was coming between trains, train cars, and an avalanche had hit. And it had wiped out the train and he had died.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, whatever, you freaking junkie. Because again, I'm getting clean here.
Right.
And I'm like, no, man, I'm telling you the truth. And so a couple weeks later, we were again bored and we went to the museum that was across from us. So it's the hotel, a gas station with a CN railway and a Rogers Pass museum mm-hmm. attached to it. And then across the highway is the CN. A worker station. And so that's why we went over to the museum, because it was there. And so anyway, so I'm looking at a diorama of the mountain range, and my friend is over somewhere, and she's like, Megan, you got to come over here. And she points to a picture of the person that I had described to her, and that there was an avalanche that had killed 22 people.
Oh, wow.
And that this person's body had not been recovered. And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know why I had that verbal diarrhea, but thank you for the confirmation, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really serendipitous that you would find that validation, which is important, I think, you know, because you kind of went out on a limb there and spoke that truth, and it was dismissed, but to, you know, to know that it was actually true, I think that's incredibly powerful.
Right, thank you.
Yeah.
So I think maybe I will tell about my angel experience, I guess.
Perfect.
Well, I guess it was an angel. I'm not religious at all, but I don't have any other explanation for what
sure.
happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we were driving up into the interior to go see a concert, and going into a city that we had never been into before. So going to the concert, we were going through the back streets and had accidentally gone through a stop sign that was covered up by unmaintained shrubbery. And we got T-boned by a city bus.
Oh, geez.
It hit my husband's side. And it was the most surreal thing for the whole situation to start off with, because it was like a slow-mo instant before it even happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the stop sign just far, far too late. And then I saw the city bus, and then it was just like slow motion. I watched the bus hit the vehicle, watched my husband's head hit the window and hit the grill of the city bus. And then the shrapnel of the window come into the car and all over, and watching us spin. Like, it's not an out of body. It's just watching like a film happen in slow mo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the most intense thing. So then, once we're able to realize that we've been hit and get up out of the car, my husband and I are taken into a bath and body shop that is close to us, like, because we're in a retail space area, and that is surrounded by windows to premise. So we're taken into the shop that's surrounded by windows while police are arriving, and ambulance and fire truck, of course. And so while my brother's being taken a look at, because he's the only one that's bleeding, we're in this bath and body shop with this woman who, again, I see her so clearly. She's like 5'6". She's got this mousy brown blonde hair that, like, if taupe were a hair color, this would be her hair color.
Okay.
And she's, again, she's Caucasian. She's blue-eyed. She's wearing this, again, taupe, beige, tan, like a female styled trench coat, but only to the knee length. Like, it's stylized, but not like notice me stylized.
Okay.
A peach pink blouse that's light, and she's wearing like cotton tan pants. And her name's Nancy. She's a nurse, and she's taken me and sat me down, and she's holding my wrist. She's taking my blood pressure, or, you know, taking my pulse, I mean, and just talking to me and everything. And while she's doing this, my husband also has his hands on my shoulders. And at that point, I immediately realized that I'm no longer having an anxiety panic attack.
Oh, cool.
And that I'm very cognizant of what's going on between me and Nancy, and her hand on my wrist doesn't feel like anything. If I had to say anything, like a faintest of a tickle, like there was no heat, there was no pressure, but I felt the heft of my husband's hands and the pressure and the heat and of him pressing onto my shoulders, but there was nothing coming from Nancy. She had taken a situation where I'm like panicking, what am I going to do, to we're laughing and we're joking and everything's totally okay. And now once we're laughing and we're joking, my husband has gone out to the car, to speak with the police and to make sure my brother's okay. And now Nancy gets up and says, it was great to see you again.
Wow.
And I only just realize again, and she walks out the door as I'm kind of dumbfounded by again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gone. Now, I know she's gone because there's a gigantic bay window, a 22 or 2 foot brick column, and then the door. And she left exiting the left where the window was, and she was gone. There was not enough of a crowd for her to disappear into the crowd. And I noticed immediately, I ran out and to see where she had gone, and she was gone. Like, she was, there was no head bobbing, there was nothing. She was just disappeared. My husband noticed her also. Not noticed her, but she encountered her also.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to him tonight about it. And he's like, well, no, for him, she was an older lady. She was, I'm like, what? No, she was in her 30s. Like, she was young. She was youthful. He's like, no, she was older. And it's like, wow. Okay, I'm not going to argue this.
Sure.
He had his own things to worry about. Anyway, so from there, I go and I'm like, whatever, I can't deal with this disappearing lady right now. And I have to go and find my brother. Okay, so she had disappeared into the crowd. My brother was dealing with the ambulance. I have to find him now. So I get told he had been taken to the hospital and that a cab had been called for us. So my husband was dealing with that. He was trying to pack up our car, get it into the cab, and just try and deal with that. So then we get into the cab, and we introduce ourselves, I guess, and the cabbie is super, super friendly. His name's Brian. Mm-hmm. He was in a band. He was the drummer. And he just tells us his whole life story while he's taking us to the hospital as to go see my brother. And he asks us why we're in town, and we told him we're there to see Tool. And it's really crappy that this happened, because now we don't get to see your concert, and we're in a totally foreign city to us. So he's like, oh, that's awful. So he's like, I'll wait for you while you see your brother, because I'm just at the end of my shift anyways. I'm like, okay, that's my husband and I. That's awesome. Okay, so he waits for like 45 minutes for us while my brother's getting staples in his head. Yeah, he got staples in his head. He comes into the cab and he's like, so do you want me to store your stuff for you while you're at your concert? What? Yeah, that would be just the greatest thing in the world if you could do that. And he's like, yeah, totally. He wrote down his address and his phone number and gave it to us on a card, his band's card, which was awesome, and took us to the concert because we still had time to make our concert despite all of this. Oh, and he doesn't charge us. He's with us for like 2 hours. He's driven us all around Kelowna, and he doesn't charge us for the cab fare. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest and most bizarre experience of my whole life.
Yeah.
And the worst experience of the whole day was the concert. I mean,
really?
Maynard Keenan was not impressed with the laser pointer that was on him the whole time and canceled the concert almost. Like, he just, anyways, it was just the worst concert I'd ever been to. But our father, his father, my father-in-law, had come up to pick us up literally just in time after the concert had happened. Like, the chain of events to get us from impact to home was just, it couldn't have gone off more perfectly to relieve the stress of the incident. So I don't know, maybe she was an angel, or maybe she just ran really fast.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the term angel can mean a lot of things. Now, she could really have been a celestial being. That's very, very possible. But she could also have been acting as an angel just because something moved through her to act in that manner. But the fact that she went out the door and you didn't see her through the window that you should have, it's very, very suspect anyway. Now, you were just in a car accident, and, you know, it's possible that... it's at least feasible that maybe there was a lot going on and you might have missed it. But there again, it's still within the scope of possibility, I think. And it was an angel. I mean, she was able to touch you and restore your comfort and your presence of mind. And I think that regardless if she was really a celestial being or just acting angelically, it was an angel, you know, and that's a beautiful experience. I got to tell you, though, we're about out of time now, but I'd like to have you back to discuss the rest of your experiences. There's a lot more to cover, obviously, as we're getting through your years and experiences, but You know, I thank you so much for coming on tonight and being a part of this and sharing what you have. It's just been incredible.
Thank you so much for having me and for tolerating my nervousness.
No, it's fine. You know, I mean, it's tough for some people to, you know, put themselves out there and share these incredible experiences. It's kind of contrary to what we're normally used to. We're used to keeping these things tucked away and just kind of private, but I think that by sharing them, it encourages other people. You go, hey, you know what? I've had something similar, and they get to step forward, and it turns into this really cool cathartic experience for a lot of people. So, you know, I know you're nervous, but your doing this will embolden many others to do the same.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
But thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Megan. I really appreciate it, and I'll be in touch, and we'll figure out when we can do some more.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a wonderful week off.
Oh, thanks. You too. Well, I don't know if you have a week off or not, but you have a wonderful week anyway. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.